Stock markets today are extremely volatile, even more so than in the past few years. In-depth investing with Gavin Graham helps to cut through the confusion. Gavin and his contributors, including expert analysts, journalists, advisors, and financial executives, can help. In each edition of this podcast, they cut to the core of the matter and suggest strategies to consider for selecting your investments and for keeping them safe and intact. And now, here is your host, Gavin Graham.
Hello and welcome to In-Depth Investing with Gavin Graham. I'm Gavin Graham, and with my contributors, I hope to help clear up many of the investing questions you may have. Having been handling investors' money for over 35 years in half a dozen countries on three continents, I think that I might have some perspective on what's going on. And at the moment, the markets are obviously struggling to deal with the sharp rise in long-term US bond yields, which has seen the benchmark US Treasury 10-year yield go from under 1% at the beginning of the year to 1.75% at one point this last week. Obviously, that's a very, very big move in a relatively short period of time. And more than anything, I think it reflects a growing concern about the possibility of inflation. Now, there'll be some people who feel that this is, as we saw after the financial crisis, the dog that doesn't bark, in that after an initial snapback, especially as Fed Chairman Jay Powell was pointing out, that the year-on-year comparisons going into the next few months when we had the first wave of lockdowns will obviously look pretty strong, but that's going to be a one-time effect and will drop out. On the other hand, some of the action in certain things, whether it's industrial commodities or precious metals or indeed, for that matter, residential housing, would seem to indicate maybe there is more to this inflationary story that's out there. But if you are well-positioned, there are always some things that are going to be working regardless of what's happening with longer-term interest rates. And with the developments we've seen in the short term, we're hoping to shed some light on some of those for you. Now, as I mentioned, you may have heard that we're heading into an inflationary period, or we might already be one. My first guest has some strategies that may help you to cope with that. Now, another factor that's been helping keep price pressures down over the last few years has been the widespread adoption of the cloud. And there's been a lot of fuss about the stocks that give you access to that, that make use of it. My second guest will explain why he considers cloud stocks so important and what you might want to do in that area. But as we head on into the recovery, the travel sector is one of the areas where there's probably the most disparate opinions, because while certain people feel very enthusiastic about the prospects for travel, leisure, airlines and the like, hospitality, once vaccination has spread sufficiently widely to give people the confidence to travel, there are many financial problems out there, and there are many countries which still don't have their vaccination programs running smoothly. Europe comes to mind. So our third guest will be looking at the possibilities out there for some of the travel stocks. And then I'll finish up with how alternative assets might actually help you if we are, in fact, in an inflationary environment. Things like materials, cryptocurrencies, and especially gold. We'll see how they've been doing, and we'll look at some way you might want to get exposure there. Now, real estate investment trusts are obviously a sector you might think would be beneficiaries of rising inflation, in that the old joke about they're not making land any longer, and that in an inflationary environment, generally property assets tend to do well. But many of the REITs, as the real estate trusts are called in shorthand form, have actually had a really torrid last year or so, primarily because they've been exposed to sectors which the market has felt are going to be majorly hurt by what happened with the pandemic and the lockdowns. Some of them, however, have weathered the pandemic and some have not. So we have Paul DeSisto on the line from Summit, New Jersey, to have a look at the REIT sector. He's Executive Vice President of M&R Capital. Thanks for coming in today, Paul.
Thank you for inviting me, Gavin.
Pleasure as always. Could you distinguish between those REITs that might be worth looking at and those that you might want to avoid?
The REITs that I'm favoring right now are those that are really income-oriented, and I'm talking mortgage REITs here, real estate investment trusts that don't necessarily manage properties themselves, but invest in package loan products and things of that nature. Residential real estate market continues to be very, very strong. I think that these types of REITs do get to take advantage of any inflation that takes place, given how rental rates, and we are talking rental properties here for some of them, they tend to be adjusted annually. And I think that's a good thing to have when you have periods of inflation. And we do know, as you alluded to, that the value of real estate rises when inflation comes up. So right now, I like the types of REITs that the type of REITs that do generate a lot of income. And I think that's a place to go right now. Now, that doesn't mean that some of the other REITs haven't recovered nicely, and I'll talk about those as well. Surprisingly, the malls are doing very, very well. And they had suffered, as you said, very, very serious drops in their prices following the pandemic. And they have started and continue to have a very nice recovery right now. But right now, my favorite ones are the mortgage REITs.
And one shouldn't confuse those with apartment REITs that develop and operate rental residences. These are REITs that invest in residential mortgage mortgages and residential mortgage-backed securities, correct?
That's exactly right, yes.
So what's your first pick?
I like New Residential Investment Corp. The symbol is NRZ. It's trading at around $11 a year, 7.4%. The stock was trading at $18 just a year ago. It went down to $3,
which
was a gross overreaction. It has been in a strong uptrend now for several weeks. They, like all these types of investments, they did cut the dividend. They had been paying $2 a share or 50 cents a quarter, but they cut the dividend in the first quarter of 20. Then they resumed a nickel in the second quarter, a dime in the third quarter, 20 cents in the fourth quarter. And I know it's only a matter of time before they're going to go back to 50 cents a quarter and the stock's going to return, I feel confident, to those higher prices that it had prior to the pandemic, the high teens. So I like this one a lot right now.
And then your next pick is an ETF, is that right?
Yes, this ETF is the VanEck Vectors Mortgage Real Estate Investment Trust. It yields 7.34%. It holds 27 mortgage-based REITs. And again, I'm emphasizing the mortgage-based REITs. In fact, New Residential Investment Corp at 5% is its fourth largest holding. So these types of REITs, the symbol of it is actually MORT, mortgage. So again, I guess I'm overemphasizing that. This traded to $26 prior to the pandemic. It went down to 7, again, a gross overreaction. It is now trading at around $19. So this is a way to get into that if you don't want to pick one of the 27 REITs that are out there.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that retail REITs, which have, as you say, one of the worst hit sectors, because obviously what's been happening to traditional bricks and mortars retail, but do you feel that there might be some interesting opportunities there?
Yes, for a couple of reasons. People are going to go back shopping. And of course, if you feel confident that shopping is going to come back in person, and I do feel confident about that, these things are going to have more traffic. And that's what malls need. They need more traffic. There is going to be a cleanup of some of the weaker anchor stores. We know what's going on there. We know that Lord & Taylor is gone. Sears and J.P. Morgan are under trouble. Macy's is pulling in its horns and all that sort of thing. But they will adjust to that. And if you look at something like Simon Property Group, which is really the biggest of the big, and they do Class A malls, and I like Class A malls, the very, very high-end stuff. And the stock used to be, before the pandemic, was trading in the mid-150s, and now it's down to 112. It does yield 4.1%. It cut the dividend, but not by much. They were paying $8.30 in 19. They paid $6.20 in 2020. I anticipate it will go up again today. This year, it did fall all the way to $50 a share in March. Again, another overreaction. To give you an idea, some of the malls that they own Copley Place in Boston, which is the high end of the high end, and the mall at Short Hills in New Jersey, which they got by their acquisition of 80% of the Taubman Group, which had been a main competitor. So, and it's also an international, they have a lot of activity in Asia as well. So you're banking on a worldwide economic recovery here.
Now, that's an interesting point in terms of the international aspect of it, which often is not the case with REITs. So, One other area, obviously, that's been very badly hit has been the office REITs, because nobody's ever going to work in an office again. Apparently, we're all going to be working from home. Probably not. But obviously, again, the prices of office REITs got very badly hit in the sell-off. Some recovery there too?
So far, there has been a modest recovery. I think it has further to go. We know about all the problems in New York here. I think a lot of that will go away once there's a change in governorship, if you will. The REIT that I have in mind here is Boston Properties, which is probably the premier type of Class A office space real estate investment trust. They're in five coastal markets, I call them, five very good markets: Boston, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Washington, and the aforementioned New York. What I read is things are going well in the other four cities. That will more or less compensate for the tough times in New York, which are expected to end again when there's things just change, whether it's politically or the economy comes back or a combination of two. This stock bottomed at $175 when it was trading at $145 before the COVID. And despite it all, they never cut their dividend. They maintain it the whole time. I find that rather impressive.
No, that is indeed. And obviously, that's one of those areas where not all companies in the same sector are affected by the same sort of factors. And also, not all of them react in the same way. It obviously is quite impressive that an office REIT has not cut its payout. But at the same time, also, it does go to point to there may well be opportunities that people are ignoring simply because you're going, oh, it's retail, oh, it's office. We don't want to be there. Thanks very much indeed, Paul. That, as always, was very helpful and some interesting suggestions.
Thank you, Gavin. Had a great time.
Appreciate it. So